Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
The College Baseball Experience on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. From boosted same-game parlays to live in-game odds, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today, bet $100, and get $100 at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET. State restrictions apply. We're also brought to you by the NASCAR Gambling Podcast. Start your engines with Rod and Cody and get ready to gamble on the Daytona 500 this Sunday. All right. Welcome back, everybody, to a brand new episode of the College Baseball Experience. I am your host. If you're wondering who you're listening to, it's Noah Beanick, a.k.a. 77, and I'm again joined by our newest clan of additions in the College Experience world, the Spittin' Seeds 24-7 group. We have Beav, Beard, and Phlegm here today. What's going on, guys?
What's going on, man?
Talking some baseball, living life, man.
Yeah. It's about to be some fun. So we're doing a national preview. We just did an SEC preview, covering every team, talking about their schedules as well. And this time around, we're going to touch on a couple of interesting topics on some teams that aren't being as talked about as much. And then we're going to jump into our Omaha eights, any best bets that we have, and also just maybe have a little bit of fun conversation at the end, talk about some Golden Spikes watchlist players that we'll throw in there at the end. But let's start it off with our favorite mid-major teams. It's the College Experience. We all love the little guy, and there's nothing better in college baseball than a little Cinderella run to Omaha. So Phlegm, bottom left corner, welcome to the College Experience. And who is your favorite mid-major going into 2023?
I think this is going to be a favorite of our whole entire team, but Campbell. Campbell's.
All right.
Basically, their whole entire team is like the preseason conference first team. Yeah. Like, it's uncanny. You know, they got Kohler, who's going to be probably an All-American when it's all said and done.
He's first, a preseason All-American.
First class kid, first class family, just phenomenal student athlete.
We had a unique opportunity to be able to interview Cade, so we have a kind of a unique perspective there. Got to meet a lot of the family from when Campbell came to the Knoxville Regional last year. So definitely a little bit of unique perspective on this team that most other people aren't going to be able to see.
Yeah, you guys do a great job in the college baseball scene with your other podcast, Spittin' Seeds, where you get to interview a ton of guys. And I saw this interview as well with Cooler. So,
yeah,
cool stuff.
Yeah, Cade's a first-class kid. You know, his team is right there with him. People praise everything the Campbells are all about. You know, hard work, scrappy team. You know, they lose a big piece in Zach Neto, going first round in the draft to, I believe the Angels last year. But they have so much talent, and there's they're such a fun team to watch. They're so easy to root for. I think you could see them sneaking into, though they will be in the tournament again this year. I think you could even see them sneaking to the top 25 at some point.
Yeah. You know, that's a great, great point for you to bring up, Flem. So I actually did not list them as my mid-major, but they are my non top 25 team, to look out for this year. So I definitely have some stuff to bring up. I'll just go ahead and do it now with them.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, Cade Cooler, like you mentioned, I mean, phenomenal kid, All-American. I mean, just a stud pitcher with a rubber arm. The way that dude recovers is just insane. First player in Campbell's history to make Team USA. So tremendous honor on his part, but it doesn't start and end with Cade Cooler. That's the thing. So the top five projected draft picks from the Big South are all pitchers for Campbell this year. I mean, that is insane. So going into fall ball, they had 20 total pitchers, 17 of which were pitching at least 90 miles an hour, 10 of which were mid-90s or higher. For a mid-major team, I mean, that is unheard of. Campbell's one of those teams that picks up just a crazy amount of JUCO players, and in really good transfers because they go into a really strong cultured baseball program. Justin Hare has taken I apologize, name escapes me, the guy that's coaching Purdue now, built the program up until like 2014. Justin Hare has taken over that program and only run with it. You lose Neto, you lose Thomas Harrington, two picks in the first 36. But I mean, they're returning so much production. I mean, this is a team that was still top 10 in home runs in college baseball last year. I mean, which is just ridiculous. I mean, Jared Belbin, 19 home runs, 58 RBIs coming back. And then you have Drew Pearson, who's the second All-American for Campbell that's on that team, 14 home runs, 50 RBIs. You know, backing up realistically for your Saturday guy behind Cade is going to be Cade Boxrucker. Who got touched up a little bit last year and wasn't all that consistent, but went into the Cape over the summer and had right at a 2 even ERA in the Cape, which we all know is just, I mean, an absolute crazy number against some ridiculously good competition. Ty Cummings is going to end up being your closer, guy that has some filthy pitches. I mean, look for this kid to make some people look silly playing with swords this year. That 110 home runs they had last year, I don't see being unrealistic for this team again this year. You're not going to see them on a whole lot of lists or anything like that. But like Flem said, do not be surprised when Campbell ends up ranked at some point this year. They will make life miserable. And there was a very, very good shot that they had to knock off Tennessee last year in the regional.
Yeah. Greg Goff is the name that you're looking for, Purdue head coach, one of the most aggressive base running teams in the country. But like you said, I mean, in that regional last year, had they not been given the death blow of Tennessee, you know, they beat Georgia Tech on that Friday, which we on the podcast gave out Campbell to beat them. We actually had that region perfect. Campbell winning over Georgia Tech. And then Georgia Tech coming through and then taking advantage of, you know, either Cooler on short rest or lack of a third starter. But like you guys said, Campbell is so – I mean, they're plus 100 to win the Big South. They look like the runaway team in that conference. I love the selection there, guys. Beard, your favorite mid-major team?
I mean, we're all going to like Campbell, but I kind of went – to someone that's not really, they're not overlooked ever, but it's Southern Miss.
Tanner Hall.
Well, that I was going to, I don't want to give too much for an award later on that we're going to talk about, but Southern Miss is, you know, coming off a region, you know, they hosted last year and outside of running into the eventual national champion, they're in Omaha. So they lose a big time guy that same thing with B, but the name escapes me. It's getting late here on the East Coast, but
Hurston Waldrop.
Yes, he's gone, but Tanner Hall's back. So Southern Miss and the Conference USA, they can be right back in it. And so we'll get to the award later. So I'll just leave it at Southern Miss.
That's my Southern Miss mid-major. Was my mid-major as well. So
gotcha. You want to talk about Southern Miss? I pulled up the odds on Campbell. They're 40-1 to get to Omaha, +100 to win the Big South. Go ahead and talk about Southern Miss.
Yeah, so I mean Southern Miss, man. You did lose a lot of pitching, but Tanner Hall stayed a certifiable ace, absolute stud. I'll let you go ahead and have the glory with some of his numbers a little bit later, Matt. But beyond that, I mean the offense is there too. They have five guys returning that hit double-digit home runs. I mean, Chris Sargent, who's pretty much on every list going into preseason as well over there at first base, 21 home runs, 58 RBIs last season. And I brought it up in our last podcast, Tennessee Tech guys going out and making a difference. Gabe Lacy transfers from Tennessee Tech to Southern Miss, had a slash of .329, .401, .540 for Tennessee Tech last season, 14 doubles, 12 home runs, 63 RBIs. Was perfect on his stolen base attempts when he did go. You just have guys all across the board right now that are making a difference for this team. I don't expect that to be any different. I know one of the more popular picks for mid-major may end up being like East Carolina. I mean, probably one of the best game day environments out there, Southern Miss included. Trying to go off of what Tanner Hall, you can't deny that team.
Yeah, for sure. So you guys touched on a Sun Belt team, a Big South team. Gotta love Conference USA. Sun Belt as well. I had Southern Miss down. I also had Georgia Southern down, and Campbell down for me as well. A team that I just left out was UConn. I had a lot of trouble leaving them out of this preview. And then UCSB also deserves an honorable mention from me as well. But my favorite mid-major this year, they're getting a lot of buzz, is Grand Canyon. The Lopes have some stars on that mid-major team. Their shortstop, Jacob Wilson, is one of the top MLB draft prospects this year, and he's one of the best college baseball players in general. He is the son of Jack Wilson, who is a former MLB player, who's also the newest assistant coach for the team there. They rehauled their whole coaching staff as their old head coach went to USC. Jacob Wilson was the starting shortstop for Team USA in the summer. GCU also returns their top two starters from a year ago, and a Daniel Avidia on Friday nights, who was 8-5 with a 4.06 ERA, 111 strikeouts, only 19 walks, and 84.1 innings with an opponent's batting average of .227. That kid was a stud last year. I look for him to continue it this year. Then on Saturdays, Connor Martell will follow him. And guys, with more connections than me are saying that this Southpaw can take a huge leap this year with his game. So back to the offense, where we see another big leaguer son in Homer Bush Jr., then add in key cogs like Elijah Berry's switch hitting DH Tyler Wilson, who batted .398 in the WAC last season. And lastly, their catcher, Josh Buckley, important position he returns to. So he's familiar with this pitching staff. This team has horses at the front of its rotation. It's solid defensively, and it has some big bats with heavy names. I love this mid-major team. They're +550 to go to Omaha and +5,000 to win it. So that's that from the mid-major point of view. Any of you guys have any honorable mentions like I threw in there?
Well, just to harp on Grand Canyon, you're going to find a lot. They've played Tennessee Saturday, so Martell's going to get to see Burns. Burns, great matchup.
Yeah, for sure. So the next thing that we're jumping into, Beav already gave off his non-top 25 team, also his mid-major too. So sorry, we sideswiped Beav. Didn't quite talk it over in the beginning of the podcast, but hey, alignment's not a bad thing. Flem, do you have a favorite non-top 25 team that you want to share with the people?
I mean, I think Campbell's kind of, I can piggyback off Brandon there. I also think Georgia has a shot to sneak up in the top 25. They got to run the gauntlet of the SEC, but that first half of their schedule sets up well to where they can make a push to get up in that top 25 before the conference play starts.
All right. And then Beard, how about you?
A blue blood. I'm going to go with Texas. You know, it's Texas baseball. They've been consistent enough the last few years to lead me to believe that even though they're not getting a little bit of a hype, especially like they did last year where they were preseason number one, and then you had this big collapse and then regrowth, it lets me know that the coach can coach. Everybody knows he can. So give me Texas. It's low-hanging fruit, really, if you think about it. But, I mean, they're not really in anybody's top 25, so give me Texas.
Yeah, no arguments there for me. Longhorns, they're pretty much probably like 26 or 27. I don't think they were that far out of it.
No, they're not.
And I'll take you to another one that probably just missed, and that was Oregon State from the Pac-12. Those who listened to this show last year know that I thought highly of this Oregon State squad in the preseason last year. They lose a lot from that team. Their top three hitters in Jacob Melton, Justin Boyd, and Wade Meckler. But they still have some big bopper, a big bopper in Garrett Forrester, who walked more than he struck out last year. That's something that I really take into account and value a ton in a power hitter. He had 60 RBIs. His power was down last year, but expect him to bring it back up as the leader of this offense this season. Travis Bazzana was also a contact monster at the top of the order in the second half of the season, who batted .305 with 14 stolen bases. And then incoming freshman Gavin Turley is ultra talented. Keep your eye on him. With this like Tampa Bay Rays kind of pitching depth in Oregon State, their bullpen is tremendous. Their postseason experience is there. And Mitch Canham at the helm. We'd be silly to sleep on the Beavers this season, in my opinion. Any honorable mentions from you guys that you had trouble leaving out? I didn't really put any down for this one. I just like the mid-majors.
Oregon State
is a great
because
call.
That's a great call because it's one of those teams. They're kind of like an organization they're just always going to be there. You're never going to have, when's the last time you thought of like an Oregon State team and you're like, man, they were really bad this year. It just doesn't.
Yeah.
Those things don't exist.
I would say another one that nerves me in the Pac-12 more than Oregon, who did get ranked for, like, in my opinion, crazy. I know it's Arizona. They can absolutely mash the ball. Another name in the Pac-12 to just keep your eye on. Anything else from you guys on honorable mentions? Before we get into our next section, let me tell you about our headline sponsor, WynnBET. WynnBET is the official sports book of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. WynnBET is active in a bunch of states, and there are tons of ways to win, including live betting and same-game parlays, a.k.a. WynnBET's Build Your Own Bet. Great promos, odds, and payouts are happening right now at WynnBET. Ready to play? Sign up today to receive a special offer. Bet $100, get $100, limited to state availability. And, of course, if you hit the biggest long shot parlay of the week, you get a $1,000 free credit. There's so much to choose from, and all you have to do is head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET so they know we sent you. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET. The offer is subject to change. Terms and conditions at WynnBET.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WynnBET is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-7700. Last little fun topic that we have listed here is most overrated top 25 team. So, we talked about our favorite non-top 25 teams. Beav, do you want to lead us off with overrated top 25 team?
Yeah. And I have a feeling that this is probably going to be a common one, amongst the team, but we'll see. It's got to be Maryland to me. I mean, if for anything, just due to the lack of competition, I mean, they mashed the ball last year, a lot of home runs. I mean, what was it? Second in the country in home runs. But to me, it's who did they really face? I mean, when you're not facing top tier pitching and stuff week in and week out, and you have above average hitters, you're going to crank the ball. So, I mean, they did have some solid wins. It definitely is a strong team. So I'm not just trying to destroy that team whatsoever. They do have a fairly solid rotation. But once again, at level of competition juices the numbers a good bit. I just think 13 is way too high. If you would have started them off maybe like 22, 23, I think that's probably a little bit more realistic based on where they're at. But I tell you what, start of the season, we're going to find out real quick what that team's made of. for both Ole Miss and for Maryland. So, I mean, we'll see how that goes. I think that game realistically, though, has a lot more for Maryland to try to prove they belong than Ole Miss does because of what obviously what Ole Miss accomplished last year.
Yeah, and this is actually my overrated team too. A little bit of Big Ten on Big Ten crime here from me. Being the guy that's in the north from this podcast, you maybe wouldn't expect it, but I'm right there with you on the Terps. And my simple stance is this: their pitching took a hit when Ryan Ramsey left this offseason, and they have two horses in Jason Savickul and Nick Dean. Although I was like, I thought highly of Dean going into last year and was really let down for most of that year. After those two starters, they lacked pitching depth for me. And they also lost a ton of offensive production from a year ago. They may be good enough to go unscathed and stay ranked in the top 25 through Big Ten play. But at the end of the year, I'm just not buying into the Terps in 2023. After all, UConn came out of their home regional last year. So that says something when a Northeast team hasn't really been to Omaha since Stony Brook. So,
yeah. And UConn, hey, talking easy, a guy that's 9-3 that has like a 6 ERA.
Hey, I want it to happen. I had UConn very close to my Omaha 8 this
year. Stony Brook. That hurt.
Yeah, sorry, Beard. A little bit of ricochet shot. Flem, do you have an overrated top 25 team?
I'm going to go with Alabama. I know they've gotten some love this year in the top 25. I think in our SEC, we had them, what, ranked like 12th? Was that right?
Yeah. Something around? 12th.
Yeah, they're sitting between 20 and 25 in some polls. You know, the 12th best SEC team is not the 20th best team in the country with so much talent. So, yeah, they lost Zane to Tennessee. Big, you know, that probably their biggest bat in the lineup. They just have a bunch of holes to fill. And, you know, I'm kind of prove me wrong type deal.
That's the thing is, though, they don't have a lot of holes to fill. They returned 7 of 9 starters. It was just the bat wasn't hitting the ball. I mean, their starting rotation arguably is the most consistent in the SEC outside of Tennessee right now. I mean, they return a ridiculous amount of guys.
I mean, Bohannon,
the bats that they added, I mean, the bats that they did add from Tennessee Tech have been proven to work well against SEC pitching. So, I mean, that's one I'd actually disagree with. I'd say they're probably pretty properly rated. If anything, maybe down to like 20 to 25, I think is pretty fair.
Beard, how about you?
So I have no statistical analysis on the answer I'm about to give. And it's because sometimes when a particular team or an organization continues to let you down, sometimes you just got to learn to just accept that. And it's Miami. And it's no different for their football program. I'm tired of hearing about them until you do something enough. And a lot of people have them right there, like right outside the top 10. And I'm tired. I'm Miami.
I love it. I love that because I had them. I respect the ACC a lot, actually. I got suckered into
it. I do too.
Playing,
we fell into overhyping them on the Spitting Seeds account last year, Matt.
Yeah.
Touted that and the matchup against Virginia and all that quite a bit.
Every time we did it, they'd get swept.
Yep. So
maybe it's our fault.
Yeah, might be mine too. But I put Miami 5th in the ACC. Again, it's like, show me. Like, they lost a lot of the pitching, too. They lost Palmquist, who was their absolute ace and heart and soul of that pitching staff. And they bring back Walters, who's the closer, but there's no starting. There's no starting pitching.
Yeah.
So, I think that's a really good take by Beard there. And, I mean, hell, let's jump into some fun. Flem, what's your Omaha 8?
LSU, Tennessee, Texas A&M, Stanford, TCU, UCLA, Wake Forest, and Florida.
We'll come back at the end for like just a random national champion prediction, but anything from those 8 that really stand out to you on why they could get there?
So I started looking at matchups because you're not going to get more than about 4 SEC teams into Omaha. That's usually what pops out, only because that's how the regional and the super regionals match up. That's usually how it kind of shakes out. I think Stanford's your easiest path, only being on the West Coast. I don't have that much. Their super regional matchups probably going to be pretty, you know, pretty weak compared to what the SEC gauntlet's going to be down in the Southeast. So I think Stanford's got tons of talent, great program. Been to Omaha recently a couple times, and I don't see any reason why they won't be back there again this year.
All right. Beard, how about you? You're Omahaite.
All right. LSU, obvious reasons. Tennessee, pitching.
LSU Stanford. Number one overall, right?
No.
Yeah.
This is no particular. This is just down to the top 25, and I listed them how I saw how they might end up in Omaha. Hush it. Quit trying to put that juju on me. All right. So Stanford, three. The hitting is second to none. They're a factory in Palo Alto. So, you know, why not? Four, give me Southern Miss. I think they get over the hump. I think they get there. I think Tanner Hall leads them. UCLA, the pitching was young last year. They're even more experienced this year. Pac-12 isn't that great. It's really a two-team conference anyway. Give me UCLA. Give me UNC. ACC, there's no pitching in it. The only team that really has pitching is Wake Forest, which leads me to Wake Forest as my next team, as a team that's going to make it to Omaha, obviously, because I think they're the most complete team in the ACC. And my final team is Maryland. I disagree with you guys. I think last year was a wake-up call that you are a good enough team. Now go out and show it. I think they get to Omaha.
Love it. Beav, how about you?
Yeah, so, I mean, there's definitely a common theme here, right? LSU, Tennessee, and Stanford, I think, are pretty well shoo-ins at this point. I tell you what, even though that we've talked about how we don't like the odds for a lot of these teams, if you did want to bump those up a good bit, I'd probably recommend try and go with like a three-leg parlay, binding those teams together. You know, they're not going to end up finding themselves in a regional against each other. So, I mean, they pretty well have a clear path to get through. That's probably your best bet to sneak through some fairly easy odds. After that, there was some similarities and a little bit of deviation from you guys. I think Ole Miss is going to make it back. I think it's just playing out very similarly to the way that it was last year at the beginning of the season for them. I have a lot of faith in what those bats and how scrappy that team is. I think the pitching's going to come together based on everything that I'm seeing from Grayson Saunier, at least from fall ball and going through. I think he's really going to step into his own there. I'm going to go Arkansas, Wake Forest, TCU, and Southern Miss.
Bold from you, coming, giving out Arkansas, especially as a Tennessee fan, one. But two, we talked about it on the previous SEC preview that we recorded, losing their ace, and you're still going with them in the Omaha?
I am. I have a lot of faith in Will McIntyre stepping up there. I think it's just an extremely consistent ball club. And consistency towards the end of the year is absolutely everything. I don't think they're going to ride too many highs, ride too many lows. So I look for them to continue doing Arkansas things and getting to Omaha. Whether or not that means they win it, though, I'm not willing to put that on them. I think this is LSU, Tennessee, and Stanford. I don't see anybody else being able to take anything on from one of those three teams. TCU, though, is – they're dangerous, man. They are a very, very dangerous team. So our own Flem here, you know, TCU can thank him for David Bishop putting on 30 pounds. So we got to interview David Bishop and Flem in all of his glory goes. So what is it? What are you going to do when baseball doesn't work out?
He's 18 years old, freshman.
He's 18 years old. Like,
greatest question in sports history.
And of course, in the off season, yeah, he goes, puts on 30 pounds and looks like an absolute force. But I mean, beyond him, you have a great bullpen, great rotation. They're just in a, you know, like I said, with Arkansas, extremely consistent ball club.
That's awesome. Awesome story on the, you know, Flem there with TCU. But I mean, I'm with you guys. I'm like, I didn't want to do it, but I have four SEC teams We saw it last year, 3 in the one pool and 1 in the other. And for as much as I try to, you know, respect the ACC, it's just kind of like how it landed for me. I think the ACC lacks a lot of pitching this year, and I think the SEC is going to be able to get it done again. So one and two, there's no deviation again for me. It's LSU, Tennessee. 3's where I get a little bit crazy, and I'm going to get kicked in the ass for it again, but I'm backing my team in the SEC, and that's Florida. I think they got a lot of good pieces. You know, we talked about the clubhouse. I'm going to try to not buy into that as much and just buy into, you know, Kevin O'Sullivan has had this program rolling since like the 2010s. So, I mean, I trust him to get the job done. And I think they have one of the best rotations in all of the country. And another rotation that I really, really like, and I gave it out as best bet in the SEC preview, and it's South Carolina plus 1250 to make an appearance in Omaha. I have like gotten down on that one already this season. Number 5, and this one's really interesting, one of my favorite takes of the year so far. It's Wake Forest, the Demon Deacons. I have them at plus 3,000 to win it all. They are one of my best bets. The most disrespected team by the sportsbooks inside the top 10 is the Demon Deacons. As someone who follows college baseball closely, I can tell you that they're probably doubted because of their pedigree, and it's not normal for sportsbooks to not be on top of their – or it's not unnormal for sportsbooks to not be on top of their research in the preseason for niche markets. And the Demon Deacons have only made 2 trips to the College World Series, and the last appearance came back in 1955, which is the only time Wake has ever won the national title. I believe that could change this year. Their weekend rotation is like minus 175 to be the best in the ACC this year. They return their ace, junior Rhett Lauder, who won the ACC Pitcher of the Year ago. Lauder is downright nasty with his off-speed pitches that aided him to an 11-3 record. Lauder, the first of 2 potential first-round pitching prospects on this team. He finished 2022 with a 3.08 ERA, 105 strikeouts, 26 walks in 99 innings. The second potential first-round arm is Teddy McGraw. During the summer, McGraw pitched for Team USA along with Lauder. And in the 2022 season, he owned a 4.08 ERA through 70.2 innings pitched with a 2.03 opponent's batting average. If McGraw can limit his walks, which he had 38 of them last year, to only 67 strikeouts, he could become elite. This team looks tremendous on paper, in my opinion. 3 experienced, talented starting pitchers, which their third is Josh Hartle. He's a lefty. And then they have a nice lights-out closer in Camden Menachi. The pitching staff is the strength of this team. In years past, Wake Forest, they've been an offensive juggernaut, and they earned the nickname Rake Forest. This lineup is a little bit down from past Rake teams, but it looks to be top 15 lineup in the country. The Deacs offense will be led by plus hitting corner infields Nick Kurtz and Brock Wilkin. I'm buying stock in Wake Forest right now. Probably my favorite play for a championship anyways, because I don't get too heavy in the futures just because I get nervous about injuries, and I also don't want to tie up money throughout multiple months of the season. And also I like to have a bracket in front of me so I can look at some matchups, but I feel like 30-1 is the lowest or is the highest you're going to get for Wake to win it all, because they look like one of the best teams in the ACC on paper. I'm going to take you to another ACC team, and that's Virginia Tech. Best bet here for the Hokies, plus 800 to win the ACC. They're also plus 700 to go to Omaha and plus 7,000 to win the College World Series. I'm on them to win the ACC, and I'm sprinkling like a quarter of a unit on them to win it all at 70-1, because I also think that's the highest that price is going to be. But 800 to win the ACC is just outrageous. I absolutely loved this team last year. They lose some big pieces from the offense in Gavin Cross, Tanner Schobel, Nick Bittison, and Cade Hunter. But the Hokies reloaded, and power bats are littered throughout the lineup here in Jack Hurley, Carson DeMartini, Carson Jones, and Eduardo Malinowski. This team doesn't only mash, they play great defense. They had a 980 fielding percentage last year. Plus, they returned their top 2 starters from a year ago in Drew Hackenberg and Griffin Green, but they also have a redshirt starter, Jonah Hurley, there. All 3 of those projected weekend starters come back with tremendous experience, ERAs, and strikeout to walk ratios. I think John Sheff's Virginia Tech squad has everything it takes to be the team after the team. Last year's team was their dream season. Sometimes when all the pressure's off and a lot of people are talking about how you've lost quite a few pieces, you can fly under the radar and make some noise in Omaha. And I think Virginia Tech has everything it needs to do that. Now, seven. This is where it gets a little bit dicey. Gotten burned on this team multiple times. It's East Carolina. I don't know if this team is worth a sprinkle on some futures, as we know the NCAA has screwed them with tourney draws in the past. But East Carolina is the Gonzaga basketball of college baseball. I mean, they have been so good for so long, and Cliff Godwin is an amazing coach. I want him to do it so bad just to get there, one. And then, I mean, getting there is the first part. Winning, it's the second part. That's why I'm probably not putting any money on this team. It's just a hunch prediction. And shout out to our guy, Colby Dant. He'll be on this podcast at some point during the season, probably more than once. At this point, he'd be blaring that soundboard with the Spirit of ECU banger of a song right now. And then the eighth and final team for me, my West Coast darling. I'm not going with Stanford, but you do need one West Coast team just by the way that the NCAA tournament bracket's set up. I'm going to my mid-major, and it's the Grand Canyon Antelopes, like I previously talked about on this episode. I'm really high on GCU this year. I had GCU in Omaha last year, but they didn't get out of that just absolute barn burner of a Stillwater regional. So hopefully this year they get a little bit of a better draw. But that's my Omaha 8. Do any of you guys have any best bets that you left out? On any conference outrights or –
I liked your Wake Forest, your Wake Forest, yeah. Especially with the value, because that team is far too talented to not to be overlooked. Yeah. And they're in a conference where they really it's a good conference, but like you said, the pitching, I mean they clearly have the best pitching. Well, so I like
they were that last year too, though.
Yeah, that's true.
What happened? They lost to Maryland.
Yeah. I'll take you to my backyard, the MAC. You can get some outrights for the MAC. And obviously, these are conference tournaments. So you need the MAC has a four-team tournament, so you don't need as much pitching depth as other tournaments here. But you can get Ball State at plus 300. Central Michigan's the betting favorite at 2-1. They lost a lot of key pieces from a year ago. And Jordan Bishop doesn't seem as confident in his team this year, just because they're a team in my backyard. I like Ball State and Muncie, Indiana to kind of retake control of the MAC, plus 300 there. I'm just going to run through a couple of other of these mid-majors. UConn is minus 122 to win the Big East. Is there any challengers that could give the Huskies a run for their money? That seems like a nice price for UConn at minus 120.
Minus 122 is an odd line, though.
Yeah, it is. It is. And then another one is in the A-10. It's kind of like a two-horse race between Davidson and VCU. You can get VCU, who appeared in the tournament last year, at plus 400. It's not a bad look over Davidson in the A-10 there. Mentioned Campbell at plus 100 to win the Big South.
That's a lock. That's about as much of a lock as you can find.
Yeah. Beard may disagree with me and Beav, but Rutgers at plus 300 in the Big Ten compared to Maryland at plus 200.
I disagree.
If you're on Maryland, plus 200 is a pretty dang good price, because if they do open up pretty well and don't take an early bump on that speed bump to Ole Miss at Ole Miss, they can get out of there with like one loss or maybe a sweep. That's the highest you're going to get that price in that conference. And then in the Colonial, it's Charleston by quite a bit at plus 150 compared to Wilmington and Hofstra and William and Mary. Northeastern all the way down at 10-1 is a little bit interesting. They've had a good program for a while. In the Big West, B is plus 200. Long Beach State is plus 400. Those are the two teams that I'd be looking at there. I really like UCSB's pitching staff this year. They've got two horses over there. It's not a bad look. In the Pac-12, Stanford's plus 150. I don't know why. They seem like they should be minus money to me in the Pac-12.
pitching with UCLA. That's the only – because Stanford's biggest question mark is pitching.
I totally agree, and that was part of the reason why I left them off. UCLA plus 350 and Oregon State plus 750 to win the Pac-12 there. Arizona plus 750. I also did give them a little bit of a shout-out there. And then in the WCC, Gonzaga's plus 200. I mean, it's not a bad look there either. They were ranked for what?
What's I said, up? No, that's really not.
Yeah.
They got a good ranked, coach.
Yeah. They were ranked for part of the year last year. And the Sun Belt and Conference USA are just crowded. You could probably find a team that you like in there. Like you guys mentioned with Southern Miss and Campbell in the Big South, they were plus 100. But Southern Miss, Georgia Southern was a team that I mentioned as well. So plenty of good options. Anything from you guys before we sign off here from the national preview?
Only thing I was going to say is for the Golden Spikes.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Give me Tanner Hall with Southern Miss. You know, as a sophomore, he went 9-3 last year, 17 starts, a 2.81 ERA. And here's the crazy thing, 146 strikeouts, 14 walks.
It's crazy.
There's obviously a lot of guys you could choose from in Golden Spikes that you probably have a better bet on, but Tanner Hall at Southern Miss, watch out for that dude.
It's not a bad look. That control is insanely good. Beav, any guys for you on the Golden Spikes watch list for us?
Yeah, I'm going utility guy in Braden Montgomery over in Stanford.
Love it.
18 home runs last year, stellar pitching. Guy that went to Stanford from the Southeast, I believe, is a Mississippi guy, but played just absolute tremendous ball. And you know they are going to give him the opportunity to shine out there, unlike where Paul Skeens may be hindered. But I really like the utility aspect of Braden Montgomery.
Yeah. Flem, how about you?
I mean, you can't talk Golden Spikes without talking Dylan Cruz, Wyatt Langford, Jake Giloff from Virginia.
Yeah.
Jack Hurley from Virginia Tech, Jacob Gonzalez. I think it's coming from one of those five.
All right. Hurley was on my list as well. I also am going to shout out Wyatt Langford because I had Florida in my Omaha 8. For the same reasons as like Chase Dolander should be on here with Tennessee, just because if he dominates, it's going to be hard for any LSU and Tennessee players in general because they're all competing against each other with the amount of impact that they're going to have on their one team. But, I mean, all those guys are worth a shout.
It's hard for our starting pitcher to really win the Golden Spikes too because they're only pitching one day a week.
Yeah.
Cobb was a little bit different where he was
pitching every dang day.
He was utilizing literally every day.
Yeah, you're not wrong there. I was also going to mention Will Sanders. If South Carolina gets there, it's on his back as well. Then Enrique Bradfield. I don't know if – did anybody have Vandy in their Omaha 8? On the national picture, it's because of him. Grand Canyon, I have Justin Wilson there. And then one more guy from Southern Miss, the transfer Matthew Etzel. Keep an eye on him because we mentioned about the starting pitching as well. I think he's going to be a big impact to that team. But, you know, give these guys a shout. Check out their own show on YouTube, Spittin' Seeds, 24/7 on Twitter as well. All of our tags are listed on the ticker for our YouTube show, The College Experience. Anything else before the season kicks off, guys, that you'd like to add?
No, looking forward to digging into when we can get these weekend matchups. I think you'll see me in particular. I don't know about these other fellows, but I'll definitely throw some skin in the game and get some crazy stuff out there. I love to make things a little interesting. So
looking forward
to the season.
Sounds fun. Flem or Beard.
Yeah, for any important college baseball people out there that work in the offices, time limits on instant replay, please. Thank you.
That's awesome. I just want every game to be on, like, cheap streaming or like
accessible.
Accessible. Accessibility. Like I prefer not Flow. And then when D1 Baseball came out and said they were going to charge up the wazoo for 1 weekend of baseball, I'm like, come on. But yeah, just that's what I'd like. Just more accessible and watchable baseball. Flem, anything from you before we head up?
No, man, I'm just super excited for baseball season to start. I'm anxiously awaiting Tennessee's home opener here next Tuesday. Get out to the ballpark, smell the fresh air, watch the ball pop in the glove here. Nothing beats a good pop of leather.
What's the first bag of seeds you're cracking for Friday?
Lemon pepper. Chinook lemon pepper, Bobby Witt on the cover. Let's go.
Awesome.
Kansas City boy.
The smell of fresh air comes at 20 degrees for me right now.
Baseball doesn't exist for a few more months for you.
Not quite. We're traveling down to the South. Who knows? I might make a trip or two down there for a series or something. But, you know, thank you guys for tuning in. You're leaving the better side of college baseball. I gotta perfect my outro again, man. I'm rusty, but you know, it's a play on words on the better. But the college baseball experience. We'll be back with a Friday / weekend preview with all these lines that are like newly fresh and coming out as we're talking right now. So thank you again for tuning in. We'll talk to y'all soon.